You're listening to the Live Talk with Lamb podcast hosted by me, Todd Shapiro. Episode 10.
We're back.
It's nice to be here.
Thank you.
I enjoy these, man.
Do you?
Yeah. Well, you know, I've always loved real estate.
Yeah. No, absolutely. Yeah. They're kind of fun, aren't they?
I love design.
Yep.
And I love the opportunity
you
to make
money.
You
really good taste.
Thank you, sir.
Surprisingly good taste. Yeah, for a radio shock jock.
not even. It's like my door opener at this point. But no, I love it. I mean, I've always been fascinated by it. In fact, one of the careers I've always thought I would have been very good at had I chosen it would have been a realtor.
You should come work for me as a realtor.
Yeah, I think, we'll see.
You would make a lot of money. You'd be very good at it.
Yeah, it's never too late. I'll start with my house.
My dad started at 60.
How do you do?
He was terrible.
Yeah.
Nice guy, but terrible.
Well, okay, that's a good point. A lot of realtors, man. 50,000 realtors, according to the Toronto Real Estate Board. It's a massive space, and we've learned a lot through these last 9 episodes, now into the 10th. But how does one really become a successful realtor and good at what they do in this game?
Well, I'm going to say it's not hard, but you need to be disciplined. And the problem with people, I see this when we bring new people in. They want to go out right away and they want to start selling. They don't know anything. They have no idea how hard it is. How hard it is when a buyer says, okay, I want to buy. What do you do now? They have no idea. Oh, you get an offer signed. That is absolutely the most basic part of it. This is what I did when I started. First of all, I called myself a condominium specialist because I thought that, and I was right about this, that most of the business going forward in the city of Toronto is going to be condo rather than house. So I started to call myself that. I started to live that. And I think, okay, well, if I'm going to be a condominium specialist, I'm going to have to actually walk the walk and talk the talk. So I needed to really know everything. So I started off seeing every single building in the city. So in my first 90 days, this is in 1988, and there weren't as many buildings. I went and saw every building. I got all the floor plans because a lot of them were just newly built. I went to all the new launches. I got all the floor plans and I memorized them all. I knew every single floor plan in every single building in the city. I knew what they were worth. I would spend nights with floor plans looking at them. I have a bit of a photographic memory, so it's perhaps a bit of an advantage there that I can remember things I shouldn't remember. But nonetheless, anyone could do it. I just spent the time. So 90 days was just the start of it. It was an absolute focus for me to be the best. And for me, the best meant the most invaluable. So if someone called me and they talked to me, whether buying or selling, they're like, I got to use that guy. I've never talked to anyone like that guy. So I wanted to have more knowledge and more information than anyone else. So I did. I knew everything about every building. I knew all the good and bad things about the buildings. It's obvious stuff, but look at a building like Market Square. I knew the differences in price between the two buildings. I knew where all the access to the parking was. I knew where the visitor parking was. I knew where the swimming pool was. I knew where the gym was. I knew where the sun deck was. I knew all the concierges. Hey, Brad, how's it going? They all knew me by name. And when you walk in with someone and they're like, hey, Brad, how's it going? The buyer's like, they know this guy by name. That's crazy. And every building I go to, hey, Brad, how's it going? So all the buildings knew me because I was always in them. I spent thousands and thousands of hours from the sales standpoint, just learning the product because I was always looking at stuff. So that's number one. I think that you got to learn the stuff before you start working with buyers. And I get it. People are like, well, I need to earn money right away. Well, the best way to earn money right away and you're a real estate agent is to do rentals. Because if you're going to go into the buildings and look at them anyway, why not go into the tenant? Tenant isn't a lot of value to you, right? A tenant's like $500 or $700 in commission to you at the end of the day when you pay your broker. So you can make mistakes with that. You can't make mistake with a $20,000 commission. But with a small commission, you can use them to educate yourself in the early days about all the buildings. Because you're going to have to show a tenant 10 different buildings. Well, if you've never seen them before, you're not going to be embarrassed. Like, who cares what they think? They're a tenant. From the standpoint of a real estate agent, believe me, that's your attitude. Tenants get less service generally than someone who wants to buy a $1 million property. It's purely commerce, right? But you'll spend the time with tenants And so why not, as a first-time agent, go out and see a lot of property with tenants? They get to see what they want. You get to see what you want. Every time you walk and open the door to a suite and you look at it, you're better than you were the day before because you've seen a new apartment and that information's in your head. You now know what they look like in that building. You've seen a unit. You've seen the concierge desk. You've seen the concierge. You've shown the facilities. Next time you go with a tenant, you can go right up to the pool. Where's the pool? It's on the 31st floor. I'll show it to you. And there's no like, I don't know where the pool is. Which floor? And you know, it's so when you, the next time when you go to that building, you're more of an expert. And this is a very easy way to train yourself and get the hours of experience you need, right?
It's obvious you know your stuff. Obviously you've done well. We've learned a lot about you from, you know, small little child to where you're at today and to where your plans will be in the future. But what are the expectations versus realities? Because there are still 50,000 agents out there. And if all 50,000 agents did this sort of process that you just alluded to, I don't think all would be, you know, still doing it in 2 years from now. So what are some of the realities that realtors have to face?
If a realtor comes to me and they listen to me and they do what I tell them to do, a 100% success rate, they're going to be successful. No failure, 100%. I can tell them exactly what they need to do. Here's the problem. They don't do it. Even people I hire, I tell them what to do and they don't do it. And I tell them over and over and over again what to do and they don't do it. And ultimately, if they don't do it and they're not successful, we fire them. We give them some, you know, because eventually a lot of people come around to, okay, you're right. Okay, I got to do the fundamentals, right?
And for those outside of Brad J. Lamb Realty, you don't mind sharing this information? Was not going to take away from somebody else.
I'm going to tell you that there's 1,001 real estate seminars out there you can get for $100 and watch them. You can go to a Tony Robbins seminar, or you can go to a Craig Proctor seminar. Any of these guys that teach.
Is Kevin O'Leary even doing them now?
He may be, but I mean, you can go to seminars. What happens when you go to a seminar? You go, I've got to change my life, and then go back to the same thing the next day. You have to really want to do it. And most people, honestly, I don't want to paint the world in it, but most people are lazy and they don't want to do what it takes. And to be great at anything, you have to make the effort. It's just not automatic. Okay. And so real estate doesn't take a huge intellect to be successful at. It doesn't take a deep education. It takes discipline. You got to do the work every single day. Even when you're a successful agent, and let's say you've sold 50 houses the year before, you can't sit back and go, man, I made $1 million last year. I'm going to skate. Because there's another guy who understands how to do it that's barking at your heels, trying to take your business. You constantly have to do the work every single day. That's staying in touch with your clients. That's informing your clients of new ideas, educating them, offering them opportunities, you know.
Calming them down ever about market fears and things
course.
Like that?
Of course. Creating documents like newsletters and doing blogs and, you know, podcasts and other things that help people understand where they are in the marketplace. They're going to be leaning to you. You're the source of knowledge to them because people have a job. They're not real estate people. They have a job and they're good at that job and they rely on you. You want to be the person they rely on every day for their real estate expertise, but you have to be an expert to offer expertise, right? And the problem is that real estate agents don't do that. They want to run right away. They don't know what they're doing. You need to understand and offer all the clauses. I get brokers telling me, oh no, that's not right. Are you, you're a broker? How long have you been a broker for? 10 years. And you run that office and you don't know this? How is that even possible? But it's amazing to me. People don't do the work. So if you do the work, the hard work, you stay in touch with your clients, you always have to be looking for new clients. They just don't fall out of trees. And, you know, it used to be a time when you could advertise the newspaper. You could do like a garbage can or a billboard like I used to do. You could do TV commercials and you'd get so much business you couldn't handle it. But now it's fragmented. It's flat. There's no one source of leads that you can buy. Can't do anymore. It's different and you got to be smart. So you need to really raise your game and offer people more than the next guy. It's not just that you can list their house or show them homes. You have to be more than that. So that's where being an expert comes in.
What would you say to people on the client side to look for someone like that and maybe not necessarily just go and use your friend or your friend's friend because you heard they were a decent little realtor? What kind of due diligence should be done on that side of things as well?
Guilt is a huge impulse for humans to hire real estate agents. My brother-in-law is a real, honey, my, your brother-in-law, I got, really, I got to use him? Or our brother, sorry, our brother-in-law. You know, your mother, your father, your sister's boyfriend. There's all kinds of people that will put emotional weight on you. You know, they're having a hard time. Like, she might lose her apartment. So then you got to give them the business. That's the worst decision because they shouldn't be in the business. They should be doing something else. Like, there's so many people selling real estate that have no right to sell real estate, and they hold our business back, and they give us a bad name. And it's bad for you to give it to someone who does one or two deals a year because you're perpetuating that. We should be professionals. We should be better. So, you know, there's probably 5,000 good real estate agents working. 10%. It's probably 5,000 good agents. We should have 15,000 agents in the city, not 50. We got to get rid of that 35. They're terrible. They're bad for the system. They're bad for you to hire. They don't know what they're doing. They get you in trouble.
What does a firm like Brad J. Lamb Realty do when you hear of stuff where realtors are getting kickbacks and they're sort of doing things on you know, illegally in terms of how everything's supposed to be on the up and up for the real estate board? How do you deal with that?
Well, you know, I mean, so real estate commissions are negotiable. Kickbacks are not allowed. But I mean, what's the difference between, you know, taking a listing for 4% instead of 5%, which is kind of the prevailing rate, you know, for 4%. Or when you're working with a buyer, you know, they ask you, well, will you tell the owner that you'll take 0.5% less? And that might save me some money. It's the same thing, really, but it's not an overt kickback. Mm-hmm. I mean, we don't do it. I don't think it's a good thing to do. I think it's bad for the industry. But I mean, it's just another way of reducing your commission. And there's constant pressure on us to reduce our commission.
I would imagine if that you could lose business if another person. Are there a lot of realtors out there willing to just take very small commissions to get any kind of business?
Yeah, there's a whole bunch of internet-based firms that are trying to do it for essentially a fee, a very, very small fee, and they're not sustainable. If you want to find your own house, I'm trying to find a house right now, and I'm a real estate broker and an agent, and it's tough to find a house and get there before anyone else does. If you're a consumer and you think you're going to find your own house by calling a bunch of agents, you're a fool. You'll never do it. You'll get screwed on the price. You'll never find the right property. You'll have any loyalty from a real estate agent. If you want to buy a home, you need a real estate agent. If you want to buy a home, if you want to sell a home, it's less difficult to sell a home than to buy a home. But you cannot buy a home in North America without a real estate agent and do well. You will end up hurting yourself. So I think that end of the business is strong and will continue to be strong. There's a thing on television right now, I forget what it's called, but they say, so you put your house up for sale on a network and then you sit back and you just deal with all the offers we bring you from our cash buyers.
Money's money.
How are you? Well, hold on. Where are these dozens of cash buyers coming from? If you have cash buyers for your house that easily because it's sitting on an internet site, they're going to be like, you know, bottom feeders trying to steal your house. Cash buyers aren't just flying around out there. It's as a real estate agent, you have a buyer for something. It's hard to get them to pay what it takes to pay to buy the house. They're not floating around in a pool of cash buyers just trying to offer on houses. That's just stupid. And so a lot of these internet companies are going to fail, for sure. I think a real estate agent's essential, and I think the service is essential, and I think we just need to rise to a higher level by weeding out these bad people. And I'm just going to say that if your sister is a real estate agent and she sells one or two properties a year, you're doing her more harm than good, giving her the business, because she should get out of the business and do something else where she can make a real living.
How creative should realtors be? Meaning in their descriptions and making sure they get the right staging, photos. Do people think about the creativity enough about it in the industry?
Yeah, I mean, listen, I don't think you can be a good real estate agent anymore unless you stage homes. Certainly in this market. I mean, there may be other markets in the world it's not necessary, but in Toronto, you want to put your best foot forward and you got to stage your home. You'll get more money, you'll sell faster. And real estate agents need to have an understanding of style and design. So you really need to paint that picture for someone they walk in. And so if you're using, for instance, in a contemporary condo, using traditional furniture, you're going to get way less money than you would if you had contemporary furniture with art and it smells good and it's styled well. You're going to sell it faster for more money. And real estate agents need to be able to provide that service.
Is it difficult to sell rental properties once you get the listing? Because a lot of renters, and listen, this is someone who's in the market looking for a place. I've noticed that when we go to the rental properties, they just like look horrendous. Renters don't care. They leave food in the sink and the stove is dirty and their couches are too big for the size of the space and stuff. What can you recommend to a realtor to again, paint that picture for a potential buyer in a crappy space that's not staged well?
That's a good question. You know, so actually the level of lifestyle that a tenant lives versus an owner is a dramatic difference. And you can see
that.
They
don't give a shit.
And they should, though, like but it. They should, though, because at some point they're going to be an owner, but you think they would. But the truth is that they don't, because it's not their place, right? It's just, it's a reality. When you compare a unit for sale that's owner-occupied versus tenanted, 9 out of 10 times it shows worse. As an agent, what we do is we want to put that up for sale when the tenant's leaving. Ideally, the tenant said, we're going, and then we go in and we make it amazing. If the owner wants to sell it and won't wait for the tenant to leave, because tenants leave when they want to leave, they can't kick them out. So, well, you can kick them out if you sell it, then you can kick them out if the person who's buying it's going to move in. But you still have to show it as a tenanted suite. And you can't make a tenant take your staging. And by the way, you don't want to, because you don't want them sitting on your brand new stuff and having a party and so on, wrecking your stuff. Our market has a lot of tenants in our condo market, and it's just part of the deal that if you're going to sell a tenanted unit, you're going to get less money than you would if it was staged. It's going to take longer to sell.
So can anyone do real estate then?
Of course. Yeah, anyone can do real estate.
But does everyone need Brad Lamb's mentorship?
No, I didn't need any mentorship, so there's people out there that don't need it. There's places you can go. There's seminars you can take. If you listen to what they're telling you and you actually activate it and do it, you'll be successful. The problem is you got to do it. And even here, where we're expanding our company and we're bringing people in, and I sit with them, I say, this is what you have to do. They don't do it. They just don't do it.
How many are you taking on more realtors
now?
We're doing
a big expansion. Yeah, so we're going to fill up. Right now, we have about 35 people. We're going to grow to 60 by the end of the year. We're going to move to another location a few years from now. We're going to grow to 250. It's a good number for being a dominant brokerage downtown. But we bring in new people and we try to help them. And, you know, we bring in 4 new people and 1 turns out to be great. And the other 3, they don't listen. The one that's great listens. Like, for instance, one of the easiest things you can do as a condo agent is open houses. Now, your choice is to be crying in your pillow or whatever the heck you're doing at home in the middle of the day, watching TV, eating chocolate, I don't know. But when you're not working, you're at home. Or you could go and sit in an open house from 3 o'clock to 6 o'clock on a Wednesday, put your sign out and sit there and you read a book. Or just, you know, think about how you can be a better real estate agent, whatever you want to do. But rather than doing nothing, sitting around going, I have no business, I don't know how I'm going to pay my rent or my mortgage, versus doing something as simple as an open house. I have to push so hard to get people to open houses every week. You sit there in an open house and someone walks in. And they're like, so are you looking for a house? I am looking for a house. That's why I'm here. Are you working with an agent? I'm not working with an agent. Oh, sit down.
Great way to get a lead, too.
Of course. It's a free way to get a lead. It's so easy. And you know what happens? So they'll do open houses for 2 or 3 weeks. Nobody came in. I'm not doing any more open houses. Like, okay, think about this. If you do 2 open houses a week, 6 hours, and you get 1 client every 2 months, so you get 6 buyers a year, each buyer is worth $20,000 to you. It's $120,000. Is that worth it to you? Well, now that you break it down like that, it is worth it to me. Well, that's how it works. It's a game where you throw a lot of shit against the wall and some of it sticks. You work with dozens and dozens of people before you sell them real estate. But the key is, in this market today in Toronto, if you sell 10 homes, you're doing amazing. That's like 1 every month and a half.
Because sometimes they go to open houses and the agents are just, they're not in even care that you're walking into that house. I like someone who wants to communicate with you, automatically try and make a connection and then show you around. Sorry, that's
exactly the problem. You see, that's someone that we would ultimately let go. The point of an open house is not to sell the house. It's to find customers to sell houses to. Mm-hmm. So as a real estate agent, everyone that comes in is a potential customer, and you need to qualify them. Now, if you're in the house and they like the house, you're going to sell it to them. But if they tell you it's not the right house for me, they're going to take them and say, well, what is the right house for you? How about this? They tell you what the right house is. You say, okay, tell you what, I'll get 5 of those for you. How's Saturday at 4 o'clock? That's great. You have a client. That's what it's for. Brilliant. You need to be high energy. You need to go to an open house and be prepared, right? Prepared means you have to have all the comps in the area. So you can show that's why it's worth this. And then you also have to have stuff for sale that's competitive to that. If they don't like it, they can say, well, wait a minute. These are five I have right now that are exactly what you're asking for. Let's go look at them. You have to come prepared. You just can't mail it in hungover, sit in the couch. There's a kitchen over there. There's a bathroom over there. Sign if you want.
I'm out. I'm out from being a realtor for you now, though. That's a problem.
That's how you do it?
No, I would just be hungover.
Well, you could be hungover. Listen, no, you could be hungover, but you got to have high energy.
Yes.
Right?
My last question, because I know we're out of time. Just the pre-construction advantage working for Brad Dealing Realty. Like, I mean, it's cool to work for a firm, I'd imagine, that has opportunity too.
Our agents have such a head start. You know, we do a lot of developments, and and they're always the best. If I do say so myself, our projects are amongst the most popular in the country. There's a couple of guys that do really good work, maybe four across the country. We're one of those four. And there's always more buyers for our property than units in the end. And my guys get first access. Like when we launch it, I'm like, okay, guys, you got 90 days. Do what you're going to do. Then we start working with other realtor groups and bringing them in. You know, we keep enough to do that. But you absolutely, you know, a realtor in my office can do 10 new sales a year, which is going to pay them, you know, probably $200,000. That's just to do new stuff. And we'll teach you how to develop your new sales business. How do you do it? How do you educate buyers with seminars on the merits of buying a condominium from floor plans and how you can make money over an arc of a lifetime and be able to retire wealthy just from buying five or six condos.
Thanks for sharing all this.
Oh, you're welcome.
If you have any questions for us, please hit us up at info@lamdevcorp.com. That's info@lamdevcorp.com. If you enjoy listening to Live Talk with Lamb, make sure to like, comment, and subscribe. Thanks.